Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ the Life's message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I'll pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best, and the Lord Jesus answers for you. If you have any comments, we ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages, the Lord may send it through his angel messenger. I will get that to you as well. And for those of you who don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments or asking your questions over there, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And I will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you that's listening, if you would, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we humble ourselves on this blessed day to come before you in humility to acknowledge who you are. You are the all-wise God, the all-knowing, the all-understanding God. You are the God of true and source of revelation in the name of Jesus. Having said that, Lord, we petition you that as we go into this message today, that, Lord, that your spirit would accompany us. You know, Lord, you said in your word that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be in the midst. So, dear Lord, we thank you for making good on your word. So, Father, we praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. I'm going to open up today with two opening scriptures, one from the Word of the Lord book. For many of you, those of you been listening to the broadcast, you know what I'm referring to, the book of God's Word, where he's been sending messages through his angel messenger, the Elijah, from 1927 to 1994 thus far, 120 messages. I'm going to read a verse out of one of them, which will be verse 6 out of what is called the 54th message. Jesus sent it out March the 9th, 1942. I'm giving you that date so in your private prayer time, you can address Jesus with this date and ask Jesus, said, Jesus, did you send an angel March the 9th, 1942 with a message to be brought to mankind? Amen. And in this sixth verse, it says, this work shall continue on, for love is the message I bring. The Church of Christ should never again be destroyed. The evil shall not prevail against her, for she shall be adorned with a crown of 12 bright stars and garments of righteousness. Amen. Amen. Keep that in mind. So, having said that, to those of you that have the Bible, let's go into the Bible. Let's go into the 11th chapter of Hebrews. 11th chapter of Hebrews. Amen. 11th chapter of Hebrews. Once again, this is our two opening scriptures. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to read verses 35 to verse 38. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35 to verse 38. And the Word of God says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. I'm going to read one more verse. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Now, in the two opening scriptures, we come to understand that the Lord said at one point, the church that he set up and established was destroyed. And it was not destroyed because his power was too weak to sustain or keep his people. But there was different things that factor in to bring in his destruction. None of them was God's fault. And this is what we've been looking at. Now, one of the things that we've been looking at in this part of the series were persecution. The early church was persecuted. It started from there. And Lord say the same, Lord's will, I'll be going into other centuries or so forth where the church were persecuted, but we're starting from here. The church were persecuted, and as we read in the Bible let us know that there were those who said they would be stoned, they were sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword. Well, all this happened. It happened starting especially in the early church, a little bit before the early church got established. But let's say one point we're looking at is how it started in the early church and has been going on even to this very day, okay? But what we're looking at in understanding one of the contributing factors that caused the church to be destroyed and why you see Christianity messed up like we are today, meaning why we all separated, divided here and there, we are this, we are that, and people are wondering, why is this so? If all of you are serving the same God, if you're serving the same God, why is you calling this and you are calling that and you are calling this? What is the purpose of all this? What was God thinking? Well, God didn't do this. I said again, God didn't do this. God did not separate us in this thing of separation we see today. Okay. Amen. And these things came about as we look at what happened starting with the early church. So having understand that, we see in Hebrews 11 that it talks about the persecution. Amen. Where that believers was going to be harassed or punished severely to the point of death and to the point of the punishment, one of the things to injure or hurt them because of their faith in Christ. And this word is also a word for you, Christian, that is listening, a word of warning to get prepared. Because many of our brothers and sisters in the other countries are suffering the highest level persecution there is. And here in the United States, we have yet, and I say yet with quotation marks, we have yet to see this, but it's on the way. But it's on the way. And so we must understand this as we get ready to go further, that our God is not a respecter of persons. He is not biased. He is not discriminatory, okay? He's not prejudiced. So therefore, he's not letting me to get beat up and all that for the gospel and head cut off and stabbed while you over there bathing in the sun, okay, and claiming the gospel. You understand that? So having said that, the title, once again, is First Century Persecution. This is part five. And what I'm looking at, this is the fifth and final part to this dealing with the first century here. And we have been looking at different things that factor in to the destruction of the early church and to why we see Christianity like we see today. And so we're on part five of here, and what happened was from the last part, I read to you guys about like the apostles, some disciples, what their suffered, gave you, was reading an account of how they was persecuted, beheaded, killed, you know, and I gave you, I think the last count I talked about was the Emperor Nero, who in AD 64, had he cruelly had the Christians persecuted and killed. In fact, he lied on the Christians, okay? Because this is a man that had a greed for money, lavish living, you had, name it. And he loved taking money from the rich, and he loved accusing them too. And when he started a fire to burn out a particular place over there in Rome, the people got so mad at him and hated him. So to get the heat off of him, he lied and said the Christians did. Now, I'm just summing it up for you. You can go back and listen to part four as I was reading it off to you. So having that being the last thing I left off on, I want to read to you more of an account of other persecutions that was going on with the Christians, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And as I get everything here together, and hallelujah. So we're going to look at, amen. And I want to read to you more accounts of the persecution that many Christians suffered. Now, before I start reading this, some of you may say, what's the purpose of this? Why are you telling me? I want to hear about, well, see, this is the branch to arouse you to, number one, the seriousness of this thing, of standing as a Christian, the seriousness of how that the early Christians were willing to stand for the faith. Because too many of us today, we shaking and bucking under pressure. People ask us, do we believe in the Lord Jesus? We stuttering. We doing all of this. And we have in our mindset that as a Christian, we're supposed to fly through life with no problem, nothing going on, all that. Well, here's a word of warning, because Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. But some of us don't seem to get that. I don't know, we thought he was lying or Jesus didn't have nothing else to say and he said it, but he actually meant what he said. So around this time, the first persecution, I'm going to read to you about the Colosseum at Rome. Now, many of y'all have seen this on movies. You know, the big Colosseum, they call it like the gladiator rings where they go to fighting and all that. Well, that's for real. That's for real. And I want to read to you what it said. It said about the Colosseum in Rome. It said, combats to the death between trained fighting men called gladiators, or between prisoners of war, slaves, criminals, and wild beasts were the favorite amusement of the Romans. The emperor, who could give the people the greatest number of these bloody entertainments, was the idol of the populace. An immense stone building or circus called the Colosseum was begun by Vespasian and finished by Titus, in which to hold these great shows. Its ruins still stand and amaze the traveler by their huge size and massive strength. Tier above tier, sloping backward from around a level central space or arena, rose seats for nearly 100,000 spectators. 100,000 seats, enough for 100,000 people, okay? The outer wall was almost circular, filled with arch and pillared openings, and mounted story upon story to the height of 160 feet. In length, the Colosseum was 612 feet, and in breadth, 515. The building was without a roof and was open to the sky except during the games, when a great awning was stretched all across it from poles fixed at regular intervals around the topmost gallery. To the Colosseum flocked the populace of the greatest city in the world to witness scenes of cruelty and bloodshed. The emperor himself, beautiful ladies of high rank, haughty sinners and nobles, as well as all the rabble of the mighty city, crowded the seats ranged around the arena and gazed piteously down upon men being stabbed to death by human adversaries, or torn to pieces by ravenous lions and tigers, let loose from dens under the walls. It is recorded that when the Colosseum was finished and first opened to the public, the games continued for 100 days, and that 5,000 wild beasts brought from all parts of the then known world were slain. It was into this blood-stained arena that many of the early Christians were brought to suffer death in its most terrible forms. So that even the Christians were thrown into these Colosseums to be killed. With a Colosseum that had seated as many as 100,000 people. Now these people, entertainment for them to see bloodshed. Now, when I was reading that, it also made me think of these video games that Satan put in the mind of those who create these video games. Look how they're trying to get our young kids to enjoy what? Bloodshed. Look at the kind of bloodshed on these video games. I mean, actually showing head cut off and blood sprouting up out of the body. You get that? Or do you want to get that? But anyhow, the Christians were thrown into this arena with these beasts, with I think also other men to be killed. And the people in the stand was loving it. It was entertainment to them. This is a word for you today, Christian. That's what's happening in the other parts of the world, and that's what you're going to see. Be ye ready, because it may be coming to you, that you're going to be used as entertainment, where your life will be online. I sense the Holy Ghost just saying this. Where your life going to be online, but others is going to see it for entertainment. Amen. Now, some of you may be shaking your head, and you may be saying, there go that man, that brother Nate again. Far-fetched talking, far-fetched talking. Okay. Say what you want to say. This is not a room where I'm going to argue about it. I'm just giving you what the Lord has me to give you. Now, you can take it to the Lord, or you can just reject it out of the gate. That's you, okay? That's on you. That's on you about all, whether me or anyone else on this broadcast coming, giving you the word. It's on you. That's what, because our job is just to give the word. Our job is not to hunt you down, ask for your address, your phone number, all of that, what you're doing, and bug you to death. That is not our job, okay? Our job is to give you the word and let you choose. You can either take it to Jesus, or you can just say, hey, I ain't listening to this stuff, man. This man talking this stuff. And once again, that's going to be between you and the Lord, okay? Amen. It's going to be between you and the Lord. Now, I want to read to you another account of a disciple of the Lord whose name was Aristarchus, the Macedonian. Aristarchus was a native of Thessalonica. Having been converted by Paul, he became his constant companion. He was with the apostle at Ephesus during a commotion raised in that city by Demetrius the silversmith. Now, y'all know about Demetrius the silversmith in the Bible. They both received ill treatment upon this occasion from the people, which they bore with Christian patience, giving kind words in return for abuse. Aristarchus accompanied Paul from Ephesus unto Greece, where they were very successful in preaching the gospel and in convincing the people of the truth of Christianity. Having left Greece, they traveled over a great part of Asia and made a considerable stay in Judea, where they made many converts. After this, Aristarchus went with Paul to Rome, where he suffered the same fate as the apostle, being seized as a Christian and beheaded by command of the emperor Nero. So Aristarchus was said to be a disciple of Christ, and he was converted by Paul in the Bible, and he accompanied Paul on missions, and they were successful in convincing many people of the truthful Christianity. Now, we're talking about true Christianity. See, we got some fake Christianity going today. And you got some people think, well, this is what Christian is about. So now they're talking about and down to Christianity because there are some who are making Christianity look like a thief, a robbing, a fornicating type of organization, you name it, okay? Well, these men here uplift true Christianity. And Christianity is being a true follower of Christ, okay? Amen. And here, these men were successful in converting many because what do? They went and preached the gospel. They didn't go preach their own doctrine or their own denomination church doctrine. They didn't preach that. They preached the gospel. And so you listen today, so many people have gotten away from the gospel. They've gotten away from the gospel, okay? They're preaching some milked-down water version of some tradition and doctrine of men that makes no sense, but only doing is choking the life out of you and sending you down a road of destruction to hell. That's what's being preached, okay? You got men up here twisting the word, their own pleasure, and the bad thing about it, there are many people, quote, following them, and they're leading many people to destruction. Now, Aristarchus, here we're told, he suffered the same fate as Apostle Paul, okay? Now, hallelujah. Excuse me. You're going to also be able to tell who's going to be faithful in Christ and faithful in your connection with you. You say, what do you mean? The greatest faithfulness and the best building relationship is going to be how this person is faithful to Christ. Then they can be an overall true friend of yours. Do you hear what I'm saying? I know some of y'all, oh, my goodness. Some of y'all said, well, man, I got earthly friends. Well, thank God for you have some earthly friends. But when the smoke clears now, remember, you have earthly friends. We have earthly friends. But when the smoke clears, when you're looking for someone to stand with you in Christ, let me put it that in Christ, then I'm going to tell you something. The best one that's going to be able to do it is the one that's really in Christ himself. Because remember, the testing is here, and it's going to manifest itself more, okay? And it's going to tell where you stand. Because if that earthly friend is more valuable to you than Christ, then you're going to leave Christ and stick to him or her, period. But if that earthly friend, number one, has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's going to be a great benefit to you to have them also as a friend. Because when the time gets tough and rough, And here, remember, Aristarchus, it says, suffered the same fate as an apostle, as the apostle Paul. In other words, he could have looked up and said, man, they're going to behead Paul. No, not me. You know, some people and another people show whether they're true loyalty and friendship to you is when you're being in trouble or get in trouble concerning the faith. If they look at you and start bagging away from you, then guess what? You got your answer. Well, hey, I got to be real. Ain't no need of me lying to you, okay? I got to be real about to you on this, okay? Some of you don't want to hear this because you think little Pookie and little Ray Ray and little Susie, who've been good friends with you growing up, y'all threw rocks in the water, like make a skeet across the water together. Y'all rode on rides together, hung out with one another, and you think that this thing is going to be forever, forever. But we're living in the time, as the Lord had me to tell you, that your faith is going to be challenged in a greater way. Now, he didn't give me the exact things that's going to be used in the challenging of your faith. That's just what he revealed to me. Now, in those things, I can see having people that you are have been great friends with, okay? When it get to the point that things of Christ is being lifted up and a decision has to be made, and they go, man, I just can't do that, man. I can't stop, you know. I like too many women, or I like too many men. I can't do that. And so they're looking at you to see how you handle it and want you to hang with them so they can do the little adultery or fornication thing. Now you got to make a decision. Is it going to be what Jesus said or they said, okay? That, listen, people, I got to be honest with you. You can't dodge it. Some of you want to dodge it, but you can't. I'm sorry, you can't. It's going to manifest itself there. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to read to you about another one whose name is Trophimus. Now, it says, Trophimus, an Ephesian by birth, was converted by Paul to the Christian faith and accompanied his master on his missions to foreign lands. He was with Paul during his last visit to Jerusalem, at which time there was a violent outbreak against the apostles by the Jews, who supposed that he had brought Trophimus, a Greek, into the temple. Lysias, the captain of the guard, interfered and rescued Paul by force from the hands of his enemy. Leaving Jerusalem, Trophimus went with Paul first to Rome and then to Spain, okay? When passing through Gaul, the apostle made him bishop of that province and left him in the city of Arles. About a year after, he paid a visit to Paul in Asia and went with him for the last time to Rome, where he was a witness to his martyrdom. This was but the forerunner of his own death, for being soon after seized on account of his faith, he was beheaded by order of Nero. Did you hear that? This Trophimus, when the Lord used Paul to convert this man to the faith, who traveled along with Paul, okay, and encounter some, was around where there was a, what was recorded, a violent outbreak against the apostles by the Jews, okay? Oh, I know some of you saying the Jews, and you have automatically put the Jews in heaven, but here goes a new flash across your screen. The Jews got to receive Jesus Christ just like you and I have to. Amen. They was God's ancient covenant people. And that's a part of the covenant that God talks about fulfilling concerning bringing them to their lands. But however, that part of the covenant does not exempt them from accepting Christ as Lord. Okay? So let's not get that mixed up, because I think some of us have. And you listen to some of these big-time televangelists, you already think that, man, the Jews are already going to heaven. They ain't got to receive Jesus. Why? Because of the way they preach it. Okay? So now this Trophimus, he's going around with Paul. And like I said, you're going to see the true test of friendship and loyalty is when they're traveling with you and you're suffering this persecution, and whether it's not just physical, even if it's just verbal, and you start seeing these so-called friends, who, especially if they're supposed to be in the Lord, when you see them start distancing themselves from you, you get your answer. Now, I'm not telling you all this for you to build up some kind of ill feelings toward them or get hatred in your heart, but I'm letting you know what you're heading for, okay? Now, Brother Nays, you saying everyone is going to be like with me? No. There are going to be some people that's going to be converted to Christ who may not have been your friend at all, may become your friend, okay, after conversion. And there are going to be some who's supposed to be your friend, especially in Christ, who are going to turn away. So the Lord is telling you, get ready, get prepared, get ready, get prepared, okay? So Trophimus is traveling around. He's witnessing these violent outbreaks against the apostles. Now, he don't shake his shiver. He don't say, man, forget this. I'm getting out here. Catch my smoke. He ain't saying none of that. All of a sudden, in his traveling to with Paul, when Paul was in Rome for the last time, and for the last time, Trophimus came back to visit him. And we're told here that Trophimus was a witness to them killing, that he saw them kill Paul. What was Paul killed for? Stealing? Nope. Robbing? Nope. Cussing people out? Uh-uh. Why? Because of his faith in Christ. He preached what? The gospel. The gospel. Okay. T-H-E-D, duh. The highest of his class, the most single out one, the gospel. And so we're told here he witnessed Paul being killed. Okay. And as we were told that this was but a forerunner of his own death, because it says soon after he witnessed Paul being killed, they seized him on account of his faith. Who put out the order? Nero. Had him what? Beheaded. People, defending the gospel of Christ is no game. And some of you out there has made it a game. You made it a game. Why? Because you don't think that you're going to face any backlash, so you have taken it light. You don't think that you're going to suffer no one coming at you, no one speaking against you. You act like everybody's going to love you. Everybody's going to invite you to the picnics all the time. Everybody's going to be patting you on the back. You think that because you think Christianity in translation, one of the things you think it means is that everybody loves you. No, you are told to love everybody. The word does not tell you that everybody is going to love you. Did you know that? You are told to love all men. But the word did not promise you that all men will love you. There will be some that will love you, okay? But all men is not going to love you. Amen. And so now Trophimus, he's getting beheaded on account of his faith. Amen. See, the highest level of persecution there is, we have yet to see it here in America. Now, like I told you, in other countries, the Christians over there, they're facing that because of their faith. What do you think that the Islam book, what is it, the Hadith or Surah, tell you about what do you do to Christians? And what do you do to those who once was in the Islamic faith that become a Christian? Their sentence is death, okay? Their sentence is not go buy them a Twinkie and a pizza and give them some Kool-Aid. That's not their sentence, okay? Their sentence is death, okay? Amen. These other religions, they're serious about their religion. So how come you can't be serious about your faith in Christ? You go over there to the Muslims and just come straight out and talk about Elijah Muhammad and see how they act. Those, the very serious ones that deep into it, see how they act. See how they act to you. See what they hear. Listen to what they would say. Okay. Now, the next one I want to read about is, his name is Erastus. Erastus, the chamberlain of Corinth. Erastus was converted by Paul and determined to forsake all and follow him. For this reason, he resigned his office and accompanied Paul in his voyage and travels, till the latter left him in Macedonia, where he was first made bishop of that province by the Christians, and afterwards suffered martyrdom, being tortured to death, by the heathen at Philippi. Yeah, by the heathen at Philippi. He was tortured to death. Now, have you ever asked the question, well, how could people do such a thing? Because of the nature they're in. This is why you become born again. You have to receive the new nature of God. Okay? You have to receive his nature. Okay? This man was determined to forsake all and follow Paul as Paul followed Christ. And he was determined to do that. That's what he did. And so whatever office he was, and I think it said he a chamberlain of Corinth, so I don't understand fully what the chamber of Corinth was or what the office, but whatever it was an office, he resigned his office. See, you're going to have some people in these last days, they're going to be truly all in all for God. They're going to turn down these worldly stuff, worldly position, worldly offices and all that, okay? You know, one of the scribes that the Lord sent the angel to that I've been reading you about these messages, his name was Brother Otto Fetty. And from what I was told, because like I said, this Brother Fetty, way back in 19, he either owned a lot of real estate or he was in the real estate, and the Lord told him to isolate himself from the business world. So he had to come up out of that, okay? And you're going to have people who, for Jesus' sake and for the spreading of the gospel, is going to come into this way, and boom, they're going to be on fire. And they're going to say, hey, I'm going to turn down this office I'm in and do all for Jesus. And you know what? Some of the Christians who are already in the church is going to get jealous. Oh, man, yeah, okay, I know y'all didn't want to hear that, but that's the truth. Because see, you got some Christians in the church ain't doing nothing. They just sitting around. Oh, yeah, they may come every Sunday, but they sitting around. When it comes to doing the work for the Lord, they are MIA, missing in action, okay? They just want to go to service, say some hallelujahs, listen to the preacher preach, and come back home, kick their feet up, and turn on the football game, or turn on the baseball or the basketball game, or get on the phone and gospel, or get at it and eat, and kick back and sit, and do all other stuff on the Sunday. You understand it? And you're going to have some of these people who's going to get converted to Christ, they're going to come in on fire. And you know what? And it's going to be embarrassing to some of the Christians who already been in the church, been in the Lord for some years. Amen. And see, that's the problem that some of the new converts is going to be facing when they come in on fire like that. Because they're going to be fought against by their own supposed to be brothers and sisters in the Lord. Yeah, they're going to be fought against by them. Amen. And see, this Erastus, we're told here that, hey, he was like, hey, I'm willing to forsake all, you know, follow you, Paul. Follow you. Let's go give the gospel. Let's go, you know, and that's what he went out to do. Amen. Remember the young rich ruler? And he asked Jesus, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the commandment. Jesus went to name him. He didn't name all 10, but went to name him. Young rich ruler, I guess he thought he had Jesus on there. He said, hey, I did all that from my youth. Jesus said, one thing that you lack. He said, sell all and follow me. Well, oh, Jesus, you dropped a heavy bomb on me there. I can't do that. Okay. The Bible said he walked away greed. Jesus showed him that he didn't keep all the commandments. Because when you look at starting off in the first commandment, it said, thou shalt have no other God before me. And then possession was his God. Okay. Amen. Well, this Erastus here, he was showing, hey, the place I'm in, the position I have is not my God. But you see so many Christians today, they center on getting high positions, a lot of money. They want to run with the Joneses. And then they're showing everybody the bling bling. It's the God life. The big Bentleys with the wheels, the big houses, it's the God life, okay? And what they fail to understand, they showing that, yeah, it's their God, idol God, okay? Idol God. Because you got some preachers who are charging these churches an audacious price just to preach because they got to keep that way of living up. You understand what I'm saying? They got to keep that way of living. They got to keep the big house where the light bill is probably $1,200, okay, a month. They got to keep that up, where the house notes is probably $2,000 a month. They got to keep it up because they got to, quote, show the world that this is the God's way of living. And my question is, well, what about the Christians in the other countries who don't have the big houses and the big cars, who really is spending their time standing because they're getting persecuted in such a manner, not just verbally, but physically, for the faith? So what about them? What do you tell people about them? Are you going to just say, oh, they ain't got no faith? Well, if you really look at it, they're actually showing greater faith than we are here in the United States. You understand that they are. Because remember, their life is on the line. Now, with us, if we have an old run-down car, one of the things we might face people talking about us. But I'm talking about these folks over there in other countries. Their lives is actually on the line. Okay? Their lives is on the line, peace. Amen. Now, I want to read to you about another one. This is the name of Joseph. Joseph, commonly called Barsabbas, was one of Christ's disciples. At the time when the apostle was to be chosen to fill the place of Judas Iscariot, lots were cast to decide whether it be Joseph or Matthew. And the lot fell on Matthew. Okay? And you know, this is in Acts 1. After this, Joseph preached the gospel in various parts of Judea, suffering many hardships, and was at last slain there together with many of his converts. So he was killed for the gospel. And we're told here that he suffered many hardships. Okay? See, some of us think we aren't supposed to go through nothing. And see, I thank God for this information like this, because this keeps me on the right path to see that, hey, to get me out of there with what some would call stinking thinking, okay? You know, we think that, I'm a Christian. I don't supposed to be suffering anything. Now, I'm not telling y'all walk around suffering, be sick. Now, dang what I'm saying, because Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law. And not suffering around, begging folks, and you got nasty holes in your shoes and shirt that got worn out holes, and you walking around poor and begging? No, because that's part of the plan of redemption, okay? You redeem us from poverty, okay? But suffering for Christ's sake, suffering being talked about, made fun of, and people trying to humiliate and embarrass you because you're a Christian. Remember in the days, and I think, I'm not going to say they don't do it now, but some of y'all know when you were coming up, you know, you many times in school you had what they used to call the nerd or the geek. And remember how you had other kids that tried to embarrass them because they was that, you know what I'm saying? Either you had the boys on the football team, the big strong boys, they'll try to make a embarrassment out of the geek and out of the nerd and all that stuff. You know, they would do that, okay? But see, I want you to understand that people, because you are a Christian, is going to want to try to embarrass you. Get ready. Get ready. Because when they do, are you going to allow that to turn your faith from Christ and turn your character and your nature to evil? Okay? Is you going to allow that to, at a point that when that same person that made fun of you is hanging off a cliff and you just stare at them and possibly take your feet and stamp on their hand to make them fall? And some of you would say, Brother Nate, why I never. Well, if you get in the wrong spirit, you'll be surprised what you would do. Let's go for any of us. This is why Christ talks to us like he do about that. If you wasn't subject to that, then there would be no need of him talking to you about that. You understand that? So this Joseph, once again, suffered many hardships, ended up being slain together with many of his converts, okay? He ended up being killed with many of those who he converted to Christ. Now, some of you look at this and you say, man, it looks like the people that killing them going to get away with it. No, they ain't. Why you think the word let us know that Christ is the judge, capital J, of all? See, you may escape man's judicial system, You may bribe the judge, bribe the lawyer, what have you, and they put up a not guilty thing and you get scot-free. You might get that bound in, but you would never, you would never. In fact, I tell you that, don't even think about it. Don't even waste your brain power to even think that you're going to get away with it with Christ. You're not. You're not. So those that do the persecuting, if they don't repent in time, what's going to happen to them is going to make them wish they never did it. Okay? Listen, let's be real and let's be straight on this. Okay? Our Lord is not going to just let his people be killed and tortured and slain for nothing and not take vengeance on those that would not repent of their deeds. Period. We got to let folks know that. And we have not done such a great job of that, letting folks know that Christ takes vengeance for his people. Amen. We haven't done a good job. Amen. Hallelujah. And we got to do better. So this persecution, people, is serious. And I cannot stress to you, and I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you like I have suffered the highest level of persecution. I have not. Have I been persecuted because of my faith? Yeah. Do I believe it's going to get more intense with me? I sure do. In fact, I know it. And that's why my personal prayer for me is, Lord, help me to get ready. Because as I shared with you guys before, I saw a point in my life about a year or two ago. I was so almost shook up. I was like, you know how you stunned, but at the same time, you may even be embarrassed. And you go, Lord, I didn't know this thing had such a hold on me like it did. I didn't know that, okay? And see, God would allow some things to show you where you at. So once again, my personal prayer for myself is that, Lord, help me to get ready. You understand that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to read to you about one more. And this is Ananias. Ananias. This man is mentioned in the Acts as the one who cured Paul of the blindness caused by the miraculous brightness which shone down upon him at his conversion. You remember Ananias in the Bible when the Lord spoke to him and said, hey, I want you to go lay hands on Saul that he might receive his sight. And remember, Ananias wasn't quick to do that. He was like, Lord, hey, I heard about this man. Okay. You know, you send me here. Hey, this man, oh, hey, he in agreement to take Christians out, Lord. What's going on here? And Lord had to drop some truth on him. Let him say, hey, he's one of mine. Okay. So Ananias did it. So it says, Ananias was one of the 70. He was martyred in the city of Damascus. After his death, a Christian church was built over the place of his burial. This has since been changed into a Turkish mosque. Okay. Yeah, a Turkish mosque where they're worshiping Allah, a demon god. Mm-hmm. So Ananias is said to have been killed in the city of Damascus. Amen. And see, what I also see here is that, and I was reading at one place, and I forgot what I was looking at, where it said that many of the true ones that fully stood for the faith was being killed out. And so you had, and I'm not saying every single body that was left, but you had many that was left was not truly standing for the standard of Christ. And I look at that as today. You know, a lot of your strong veteran saints, I call them veteran saints, been in the gospel a while, they're passing on. A lot of your older church mothers, church fathers in the gospel is passing on. And the thing I've seen dangerous is that a lot of these young ones that's coming up, they're kind of oblivious to the right standard. So they thinking they can go around and say God is doing a new thing, meaning that God is doing whatever, and they calling it whatever God. And so my prayer, Lord, you know, reserve those who are really standing in the faith, standing on your standard, to teach those who are younger, who's willing to hear, so they may stand. Because I'm not saying all the young folks is like that, but many of them are. And when you look at it in every aspect, from the Christian point of view to the natural point of view, you see how that many of your young folks, when they come up in the same area of certain things, there's a change. And a change, for the most part, is not for the better. That's even with your businesses. I noticed that when you have businesses that been, like, say, the older people was running it, been running it for 70 or 80 years, or you know, going down the line, but many times when, quote, the parents are running a certain thing and they turn it over to the children, many times it don't survive. Now, I know some of y'all may say, oh, man, that's just a biased remark you make. No, that's the truth. You can see it in any aspect. You can see it in regular businesses. You know, you have the child taking over the business and it's being as the same or successful as, you know, the parents before. But many of them, when they take over the business go down. Some of y'all listening know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all have worked in plants or for companies where that, where the daddy and the mama ran it, or mama ran it or whatever, and y'all was doing pretty good. And then when they said, hey, I'm retiring and I'm giving it over to my kids, and all of a sudden you saw all kinds of stuff break out. You said, man, I ain't never seen such stuff like this on this job in my life. And you noticed that the job started, what, going down. You got places where that, when it was given over to the children. Now, once again, this is not a bad mark to put on the kids. I'm just letting you know what we're looking at today. Many times when it's given over to the kids, the padlock ended up on the door. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? Because the other thing I've seen in that is what is called the lack of wisdom. You know, with some of the parents and the older generation, they look at being wise in their money, how they spend it, how much they spend it. Meaning when the kids take over, it's like a free fall. You know, just boom, just whatever. Hey, you need $1 million worth of stuff? Boom, go ahead and spend it. Next thing you know, the company in trouble, and the kids are saying, hey, you know, we ain't got no choice. We got to close down. We can't make it, or we'd be filing bankruptcy all over the place. You get what I'm saying? So I wanted to give information to you guys about the first century persecution and how so very serious this thing was, and how that, you know, it's a mirror of what's happening today among the Christians, okay? True Christians. Because that's another thing, like I said, you're going to be able to tell who is true and who's not, that as this heat turn up, you're going to find more starting to what? Pull back from. You're going to find more that when it's time for the prayer time, they always make an excuse of why not coming. When it's time for the getting the word, they make an excuse of why not coming. And you're going to start to notice some things about them. You can be like, hey, brother, sister, you okay? What? Yeah, it seems like you don't have the same interest like you used to have in the gospel. Oh, I'm okay. Then they get in public with you. They start acting like they don't know you around certain people. Now, I'm telling you, get ready. As T.D. Jakes would say, get ready. Okay, I'm telling you, get ready. Because it's on the way. It's on the way. Amen. Glory to God. People, he's worthy to be praised. And he's worthy to be glorified. He's worthy. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for this day that you have blessed us and this opportunity you've given unto us to know your word. I pray that I have done that which is pleasing in your sight in delivering the message that I need to deliver to those who are listening, whether it's here or far away. I thank you for this opportunity. So, Father, I praise you. I lift you up. I glorify you. I magnify your holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, I thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget, tonight we have another broadcast at 7 o'clock. Look for it as Brother Eddie Lee will be on tonight. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.